In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Today, through our readings and the collect of the day or the prayer for today, the church kind of gives us a two-week notice that Advent is coming. 2 weeks, Advent is coming. I thought about saying it's sort of like a two-minute warning, but then, that the liturgical season, like the first season of our church year, is coming back around in 2 weeks. We heard in the collect of the day the prayer, "Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that they may bring forth the fruit of good works, plenty of them, as they await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to restore all things to their original perfection." Maybe the two-minute warning idea is actually a pretty good analogy, because it's like 2 minutes till the end of the half or the game. And Advent is that time where we're longing for, looking for Jesus to come to bring the end of this part of his design to an end. Right? To come and make all things right and all things new, to fulfill the cries of the poor and the suffering and the powerless and the broken and the hurting. But the wait for the coming can sure feel long and hard and painful. Sometimes excruciating. Whether it's separations we experience, the grief of loss through death, or broken relationships, or distancing, or just distance. Maybe it's the trouble we might experience for trying to be a faithful disciple, trying to be a person of integrity. Maybe it's physical debilitation, physical pain, chronic pain, financial pressure, financial stress. Maybe our own secret bondages that frustrate us and discourage us and under which we labor and hurt. Maybe it's this constant, incessant calling and seduction of the world around us that doesn't literally say, "Here's the Christ, there's the Christ," but in so many words do say that. Trust it, this will save you. Trust in this. Buy this. Align with this party. Trust in the government, the military, the economy. Trust in this Savior. And it's constant. And we give in so many ways we don't even, let me say this, I give in so many ways I don't even recognize. I want to talk about endurance today from our scriptures. And as is often the case, this is principally for Mark. And I hope that through Mark, it's a message that is encouraging and strengthening for some of you. In the case of our scriptures today, the hardship and pain and struggle of the waiting is specifically in the context of outright persecution or the stress of imminent attack by a powerful government or an empire or that kind of a thing. And frankly, we have brothers and sisters this morning in the world who are under that kind of a thing, that kind of persecution or threat of imminent, like, being overtaken. And I'm thinking of Sudan in particular, but other places too, North Korea, lots of places. Specifically, we heard Daniel say, "There shall be a time of trouble such as never been since there was a nation till that time." And Daniel is his book. We're not going to go into all that. I just can't, even if I wanted to, I'm not prepared to do that. But Daniel prophesies about all these kingdoms that will come. And so he's speaking about a kingdom or an empire that will come and will cause such stress and trouble and overwhelming destruction as has never been seen in history. He points to that. Jesus himself, right, in our gospel today, says in those days, he's giving a prophetic warning for the people that are listening to him, that the days are coming for you, people that I love, when there will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning of creation until now, and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no one would be saved. Now he's most likely, again, speaking about the powerful Roman Empire, which is completely at odds in virtually every way with all the principles of the kingdom of Israel as God established it. And our epistle actually speaks of the people already experiencing struggle and suffering and persecution. The writer began today, we heard Mason read that, recall that you've suffered. Recall that you loved and identified with those struggling and in prison, that your property was plundered, but you worked through it because you trusted that you had an abiding possession with God. There are also promises in all the scriptures, but I leave that for you. Daniel 12, Mark 13. Maybe if the Lord stirs you, you can go back and dig into that. I want to focus specifically on these verses that the writer to the Hebrews says to me and maybe to some of you today. Therefore, in this pre-season of Advent, and remember, every season of the church year, we live and embrace what that season is about all of our lives, not just it. For example, we don't just long for the Savior King of the world to come and make everything right only in however many weeks of Advent, right? We live that in our whole life. We walk closely with Jesus in repentance and self-examination, not just 40 days in Lent, but every day of our life. But we have these opportunities to remind and press in more deeply into those things. So in this warm-up for Advent, this pre-season practice time, we hear the writer to Hebrews say these words, therefore, because of what you have experienced and because it's looming on the horizon, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For, and here he's echoing Jesus, whom we heard say in the gospel, he who endures to the end will be saved. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Endurance. That's that capacity to continue, to take the next step and bear up under difficult circumstances. Endurance always has the context of difficult circumstances, of struggle, of pain, of wanting to stop and sit down and go to sleep. Endurance is that steadfastness, that constancy. I mean, it's a whole category of running and racing.
and it's a whole category of athletics, endurance. Like the marathon and the ultra marathons. They're called endurance events because they hurt. And you need to keep going if you're going to finish. My sister-in-law has shown endurance in this past month and a half since losing her husband, my brother. She is a faithful woman. And her goal, with the help of her friends, her prayer partners, and her pastor, she shared early on with us, her goal was to do one new or necessary thing each new day to recover from the, begin to get her life back from that trauma. One new, and by that not brand new, like put back in my life the next thing each day. I love that. It's a great example for us. I realized just this morning, I was like, endurance, that sounds familiar, that I just downloaded a book, both on Kindle and Audible, that I'm really looking forward to listen to, called Endurance. It's an old book about Sir Ernest Shackleton. Some of you know that story, who was the first person to cross the length of Antarctica over the pole. Anyway, but whose ship was called, ironically, Endurance, and whose ship was crushed between some ice packs, and it's this amazing story of his leadership and the endurance he and these men showed in surviving. Endurance. I want to suggest that from our passage today, and I am going to steal from a couple of verses that I'm not going to really develop in our epistle, but that endurance is inspired by confidence, and confidence we have because of our faith. So endurance, backtrack confidence, backtrack faith. This idea of confidence is an important one to the writer of the Hebrews. He uses this term, confidence. Some of our Bibles might use the term boldness. Numerous times, I think four times in significant ways. In Hebrews 4, I think we might have had this several weeks ago, we heard, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need, that we might find grace to help us endure. Let us draw near to the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that God wants to give the grace that we need to keep on walking. And just in this chapter of chapter 10, we read in verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, using a lot of metaphors here, that is through his flesh, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Since we have confidence to enter in because of Jesus' suffering, because of Jesus dying on the cross and bearing all that seeks to undermine and destroy and hinder us, we have confidence because we've drawn near by faith. The writer goes on to say, the coming one will come and won't delay, but my righteous person will live by faith. We know in the context of the scriptures and in Hebrews in particular that this confidence to draw near to God is because God has worked in our hearts, enabling us to trust him. God has given us this gift of faith.
to trust him and no other so-called Christs. This confidence comes through believing and through tasting and seeing the goodness and grace and mercy of God. We don't endure in order to win a prize. This call to endurance, even Jesus saying, the one who endures to the end will be saved, is not to say that it's like the final test. It's the one thing you have to do in order to get the prize. In this way, it's not like an endurance event. Yes, we have to endure. Yes, we have to keep clinging to our relationship with the Lord, with Jesus. But we endure because we've already tasted, because we've already received a first deposit of the promise and the reward. It's not something we're fearfully struggling and hoping that maybe if we make it all the way to the end, God will say, you're a great endurer, so here's your prize. No. God will say, you've stayed with me. You've believed my promise. You've delighted in my love. You've let what you've tasted and seen of my suffering strengthen you and give you the grace to continue. When the writer says, I think this is fascinating, he says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence. What is that saying? Believer, you have confidence. It's actually there. If you've drawn near, if you've tasted and seen, confidence is something God is working in you already. It's accessible. Don't throw it away. Use it. Don't shrink back. Don't give up. Keep on walking. Yes, there are days when we just want to stay in bed. Yes, there are days when it is hard and difficult. But we are not only following one and in love with one, but we live in one and who lives in us who's been this way before, who suffered for us to save us. So endurance inspired by confidence which comes from faith in Jesus Christ. I want to suggest two other things by way of closing, two other gifts that we are offered, two other things that are available to us to help us endure. And I hear them in this passage in Hebrews 12. So it's a whole one chapter ahead. And if just a little thing about your Bible, so we have this part that we just read, which brought us all the way to the end of Hebrews 10. Then Hebrews 11 comes after Hebrews 10. You learned something today. Hebrews 11 is what is sometimes called the Hall of Faith chapter, the Hall of Fame of faithful Christians, and all this story of people who were faithful. Faith and faithfulness is actually the same word in the Greek, which is an interesting connection. To be a person of faith is literally to be a person of faithfulness. So we have all of that in Hebrews 11. It's great. And then Hebrews 12 starts like this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith or faithfulness, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, thank you, Lord, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. A lot about endurance in there. So I hear the two things are these: a great cloud of witnesses and the Lord Jesus himself. Great cloud of witnesses. Now, specifically, this is like saying, remember, a lot of people have lived this way before you. But this great cloud of witnesses also, especially in the context of Hebrews, might mean the people that are in this room. God has made us to kind of need to be encouraged, to need others on our journey who are maybe a few steps ahead, who are beside us and put their arm around us and look us in the eye and say, I'm with you, I love you, you can do it. And some of us, like my neighbor, I'm talking about myself, are really good at isolating even when things are good, let alone when things are difficult. Do you want to endure? Do you want to be faithful and do the will of God? Then you might need some witnesses in your life. And secondly, the Lord Jesus himself, and I've already mentioned that, but specifically with regard to his enduring. This is what Hebrews points us to. Jesus specifically as the one who endured for us, who endured such hostility and such suffering on our behalf. And this is the one of whom we taste and see. This is the one whom we do walk with, not just hand in hand, but abiding, living our life inside of him and him living his life inside of us. He says, looking to him, the founder and perfecter of our faith and faithfulness, who sits on the throne and says, come with confidence and I'll give you grace. I'll give you what you need for that next step. I know, I see, I understand, and I'm with you, and I will be with you. We can trust him as we endure with confidence and by faith. God, help me endure. Amen.